The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Kama has been generously sponsored in our Daf Yomi program by our good friend and patron and charter member of our Daf Yomi class, Siyahu Ashar HaKohen and his dear wife, Rina, that Be'ezrat Hashem, they will have continued Hatzlacha, Harvaha, Bechol, Ma'aseh, Yedehem, Bri'ut, health, happiness, prosperity, and much nachat from their children. May they enjoy many years of Shalom Bayit, tranquility, and peace of mind. Amen ve'amen. Daf Tet. Today's daf is being started in the Nishmat Muzikini Yosef ben Sarah, and Merat Zikinati Yafa bat Sarah, the Nishmat Abraham ben Esther, and Hashem Tenehem began Aiden, Amen, for Shalom, Hashem Medina, and Sarah bat Rachel, and the Refan of the Him for the Nefesh, and for the Gufa, and for the Bada Lord, and for the Son of Amen, and for Asher Emad Echol, Hayalim, של חיילי צבא הגנה לישראל, הפצועים, אין הנפל עליהם, רפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף, שהקדוש ברוך הוא ייתן לחיילינו הצלחה והרווחה בכל מעשה ידיהם, ידבר סוללת תחתיהם, יעטרם מעטרת ניצחון, אמן ואמן. We begin today's daf on chet amud bet, and we're starting about middle of the way up, a little lower than that. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 lines from the bottom. Amar Abba. Reuven owed money out. He owed Nizikin, he owed Baal Hov, he was a Baal Hov, and he owed a Ketubah. So he owed the three grades of fields. He owed Nizikin, he owed Edit for that. He was a Baal Hov, so he owed Benunit for that. He owed Ketubah, so he had to pay Ziburit for that. So he had all the classifications of the fields. What did he do? He sold all his fields. Shemachar kol sadotav leShimon. Ve'alach Shimon u'machar sadeh achat leLevi. Shimon went and he sold one of the fields to Levi. Uba ba'al chov der uben. So the ba'al chov now comes and he wants to get paid. Ratza mizegove, ratza mizegove. He can get paid from whoever he wants. He can either go to Shimon, or he can go to Levi. There's a choice to go to whoever he wants to get paid. Rashi. Umachar sadeh achat leLevi, v'ahi sadeh benonit havai. He sold to Levi a benonit. Ve'lo shiir Shimon benonit etzlo. Which means there was no other benonit. Now on the benonit fields, there's a she'bud for Baal Hov. So therefore, he can go to Levi. That's the third guy in the story. Reuven, he owes the money. He sold it to Shimon. Shimon sold it to Levi. So now we'll call the Baal Hov, call him whatever you want to call him. Call him Abraham. He's coming to collect his money. So he can go either to Shimon's fields or he can go to Levi's fields. The Gemara says, depends. Velo amaran ela dezaban benunit. Right, he only can go to Levi, only if Levi bought benunit, because the shirbud for Baal Hov is where? On Benonit. Aval Zaban Edit Viziburit, lo. But if Levi bought Edit and Ziburit, he cannot go to Levi. Why? Because Levi will say, the Amarle, the Achi Daiki Vizabne Edit Viziburit. Ara'ah, de lo Hajia lach. Right, he's amazing. I was careful when I bought Edit and Ziburit because I knew I didn't want you to come and collect. That's why I didn't buy the Benonit. I didn't touch the Benonit. Therefore, if Levi only buys Edit and Ziburit, then Abraham, the Baal Hov, cannot come to him. He can only go to Shimon. Why? Because he says, listen, I was careful. I only bought Edit and Ziburit because I knew that you can collect from Benonit. And therefore, I didn't want you to come to me to collect. And therefore, go to Shimon and collect. And even if Levi bought Benonit, lo amran ela de lo shiir Benonit de kevate, which means it's only talking that he didn't leave an equal level Benonit by Shimon. Delo matzi amale nacht lecha makom legabe Shimon. We cannot say, listen, I left you an equal portion by Shimon. Aval shiir benonit lechivate gabe Shimon. But if you left an equal grade of benonit by Shimon, lo gabe mine tematzi amale nacht lecha makom legabot memenu. Exactly, which means if he left an equal benonit by Shimon, he can't go to Levi. Levi will say, what do you want from me? I was careful when I bought. I knew you were going to come. So I didn't want to get involved with you. So if he bought Edit and Ziburit, for sure he can't go to Levi.
Why? Because he'll say, what do you think? I don't have Benonit. You're a Benonit guy. Go back to Shimon. And I was Makpid. That's why I didn't buy Benonit. And even if he bought Benonit, but if he made sure to leave a little Benonit by Shimon, hey, what do you mean? I was careful. When I bought, I made sure that he still had some Benonit. So I'm not your person that you can go claim to. But if he bought Benonit level, he has Benonit. So now, and there's no more Benonit by Shimon. Now the Baal Chov, the Gemara says, has an option to go to whoever he wants. You can go to Reuven, because you go to Shimon, because you can say, listen, you bought all the fields, so the Chov is by you now. Whatever Reuven owed, now you have to pay. Or if he wants, you can go to Shimon, because he goes, listen, or you can go to Levi, because listen, you have the Benonit. Look at that sheet. And she says, Ratzah Mishim'on. See, look at that. Ratzah, the first one. Ratzah Melevi Gove Ota Sadeh Dama Leshamudeh Shakat. If he goes to Levi, Shim'on, I'm sorry, if he goes to Levi, yeah, he can take the Benonit field. I'm taking my own. I'm a Baal Hov, you owe me Benonit, you have a Benonit field. Ratzah Mishim'on Gove Mizibonit. Now, what's the logic why he can go to Shimon, the Amar le at ba'ad devarim didi at the shakad kulu nechsay de Reuben. So listen, I deal with you because you bought all the fields of the Reuben, and by buying all the fields of the Reuben, we learned on yesterday's daf, all the sharbudim come with the fields, and therefore I don't gotta get involved, chase people now. I'm gonna go run to Levi now because you sold the fields. You're the guy and you still have fields over there, and anyway with the Torah he gets ziburit. So therefore, if he wants to take the Ziburit from Shimon, he can take the Ziburit from Shimon. If he wants to go to Levi and track Levi down and take the Ziburit, he can do that also. I mean, he has options to go either way. Again, understand the case. Reuven was the guy that owed out everything. He sold all his fields. B'vat ahat to Shimon. What's the regular law? If it ends there, Shimon's got to pay out everybody. All the chavot now of the Nizikin, of the Baal Chov, of the Ketubah, all that transfers now to the fields. And he's got to make the payout. He went along, this guy, Shimon, and he subsequently sold some more fields to Levi. So Levi is holding a Benonit, let's say. Levi is holding Benonit, and Shimon is holding Edit and Ziburit. The Baal Chov can have a choice. Of course, he can go to the Benonit guy. Listen, Benonit is my payment. But he can even go to Shimon, because he can come along and say, listen, when you bought all the fields, you have the Chovot on you, and therefore, I'm coming after you. I'm not chasing Levi, and I'll take Ziburit. Because Minat Torah anyway could take Ziburit for Baal Chov. So therefore, he has a choice to go to either one that he wants with the conditions that the Gemara makes. Normally, we have a general rule, just to clarify. Let's say you only have two people. Reuven sold field to Shimon. Reuven sold Shimon Benonit. Reuven's the guy that owes out the money. Now the Baal Chov wants to come. Reuven comes to Shimon. Hey! You got Benonite, please. I'll take the Benonite. It's owed to me. Shimon can tell him, listen, take a walk. I bought this Benonite. I left stuff by the Reuven, and I don't know who you are. You got nothing to do with me. Go to your Baal, go to your guy that you dealt with. Your guy's the Reuven. See you later. Then you could push him off, even to Ziburit. Here, however, we can't do that. Because here, neither Shimon or Levi is related to this Baal Chov. Which this Baal Chov is dealing really with Reuven. So therefore, they only made a takana over here for to push you back to the Baal, to the guy that you dealt with. Right? So when I buy something from the guy himself, the guy that owes the money, okay, so they made a special takana to put it. But now when you're dealing with two strangers, Shimon and Levi, have nothing to do with this at all. So then already the deen is, we don't say, when he comes to Levi, I'll take Benonit, please, because, go to Shimon. Who's Shimon? I don't know who Shimon is either, by the way. Shimon's not related to me just as much as you're not. If I'm taking the Benonit. That only thing we would say, you could push him back, is you could push him back to the original guy that owes the money. That was the original takana. Good. Amar Abaye. Okay, Abaye says, Reuven Shemachar Sadeh LeShimon, Bahrayut. So what happened here? Reuven sells a field to Shimon Be'ahrayut. What does it mean Bahrayut? With literally means with responsibility. He takes responsibility. Guarantees it, exactly.
V'ata ba'al chov de Reuven.
Also the ba'al chov of Reuven
comes v'taraf mishimon.
He goes to Shimon. Hey, listen, that's the only field left. I'm taking it.
Dinau da'azil Reuven u'mishta'e dina ba'adeh ve'lo matze amarle la ba'al devarim didi at. Nashi.
Which means
Reuven now is able to take the Baal Chov to Bet Din, even though the Baal Chov didn't talk to Reuven. The Baal Chov's coming after Shimon. But if Shimon has to make that payout, Reuven's going to be on the hook.
Again, Reuven sold the field to Shimon, I'm responsible. Okay? Reuven's sitting home, everything's nice. He hears that the Baal Chov is harassing Shimon. Mm-hmm. He wants to get paid. The law is, even though Reuven's not a claimant over here, Reuven can take this Baal Chov now to Din to try to get rid of him. And the Baal Din cannot say, hey, I got nothing to do with you. I didn't ask you for anything. No. You're asking me for this. By asking Shimon for this payment, I'm going to get affected with it. So he can take it to Beit Din to discuss if he really owes the money or not. That's she.
If he has a claim, of course.
He's going to say, I paid you already, or something like that.
Good, he can start having claims, I paid you already, and things like that. Continue the Gemara.
The Baal Chov cannot tell Reuven,
listen,
I got nothing. I don't have to answer to you. I'm going after Shimon. You have no right to take me to Beit Din. You cannot say that. Why?
Damarle imachkat mine.
Of course you're dealing with me. Because if you take the field away from Shimon, what's going to happen?
Alai hadar.
It comes back to me. So therefore you are dealing with me. Okay? You can't say that you have nothing to do with me. I'm being affected by this over here.
Vikad amre.
Because the Baal Chov will claim, listen, the shi'bud is out of your portfolio, my friend. Right? Which means you owe me binunit, you don't have anything left, it's all by this guy now, so I'll take a while. I have nothing to do with you. The Reuven says, no, you have a lot to do with me. Because you take that binunit from Shimon, Shimon's coming after me. So if we can't take him to court. Like we said, I'm just saying the logic of how it works.
Okay.
Wow. Even without achliyut. I sold Reuven sold Shimon field without guaranteeing it. Meaning, you told me, listen, I'm not guaranteeing if people come after you, you know, you're on your own. Still, if the Baal Chov comes after Shimon, Reuven could deal with the Baal Chov. Now, in that case, the Gemara, what's the logic? He can tell me, I got nothing to do with you. And even if I take the field from Shimon, he can't come after you. I mean, even if I take the field from Shimon, he can't come after you. So I'll take a walk.
No, damarle lo nihali de tevel Shimon tar'omet alai.
Listen, I don't want guys to have claims against me. You're right, I didn't guarantee it, but now he's going to have a claim. Hey, listen, I'm a kind of guy. I bought a field, and now they took it away from me. I'm not interested in guys even having claims on me. So I have a right to take a guy that didn't claim against me to court if by him going forward it's going to cause somebody else to be angry at me. So therefore, you cannot say I have nothing to do with you.
Good. V'amar abayir uven shebachar sadeh l'shimon shelo b'achrayut.
Okay, same story. You sold fields to Shimon without taking responsibility.
V'yatzu alav asikin.
What happened? Sells him the field. All of a sudden, there's rumors about the field. People start saying, hey, that's mine. It belongs to me. Now, Shimon realizes he bought a can of worms now. Because now he hears people talking. He wants it back out now. He don't want to get involved with this field. He bought a field. Nice. He was happy. All of a sudden, as he's in the purchase, there's talk in the street. Hey, what is he doing? That's my field. There's oranim. There's stuff. Now he wants it back out. Can he back out?
So Gevurah says,
before he made hazakah on the field, he can back out.
What's
the reason? The amar le, because the seller can tell him, the Reuven can tell Shimon,
Haita de katre sabart vekabalt. Literally means, Haita de katre sa keshura male ruach.
Which means, listen, you thought you were buying something hashuv. You saw a big sack over here, filled. What happened? You opened the sack after, and there was air in it. I said, it's not my fault. You bought it. You thought you were buying it. You thought you had a deal over here. You thought you had a... Now what? Now you hit it, there's a little trouble. You just want to back out on the deal? Too late. Once you made hazakah, that's it. The sale is final. You can't come along now. When you were buying it, you were excited when you bought it. So, oh, look at it, I got a big item here. Sack my lid. Okay, what happened? Happens. You open the sack, there was air in it, which I tell you, now you have problems. So therefore, what should I do? You bought it, you bought it. They're backing out now. Now, because there's claims now. Okay, so you have to deal with the claims, which I tell you, it's your problem. You can't take nobody to nowhere. You bought a field now, you have problems. You should have done your due diligence before you bought the field. You thought you were getting a deal, so you couldn't wait to buy. You ran, you bought it, you paid, you did, you made hazakah. Now all of a sudden, it's ordered in. I'm out. What do you mean out? If you're really interested, you should have done your due diligence before you bought the field now. Sorry, can't help you. Me'ematai havi hazakah. Now, me'ematai havi hazakah. What does hazakah mean? When does hazakah take place? What did he do? He did something at the border. What did he do? He walks along the boundaries. Okay, which means even walking around the field shows already he's taking possession. Now, that's only talking where the Uven sold and he didn't guarantee it. Okay, if he guaranteed it, so therefore, I'll see you later. You guaranteed me the field, so now it's ordered him. I'm out. But this is only talking about where there was no guarantee. So he sold it to him without a guarantee, and he made hazakah. That's it. Even if he sells it to him with a guarantee. Right. He tells, okay, let's see. Where's the claims? What, just because people are talking in the street that the field belongs to them, what, you want to back out? Show me the claims. Show me one guy that has a legal claim, and I'll talk to you. I'm not letting you back out on a rumor. Because all it was asikin. Right? So, which means... Even if he sold it to him with guarantees, okay, show me a credible guy, and then I'll talk to you. Now, what? You want to back out now just because there's smoke? I'm not gonna let you back out. Bring me a credible guy that says the field is his with a star and everything, and then okay, I'll talk to you. I'm not letting you back out just because you don't want to get involved in headaches. Okay, comes the Gemara and says, period. Back to the old sugya of 3 days ago. Remember we had two pesukim. One pesuk said metav. Metav means you got to pay the best. Got another pesuk, yeshiv. Yeshiv sounds like you could even pay subin. You could even pay junk. Right? So we had to reconcile the pesukim. So we said that our original reconciliation was, when it comes to fields got to be metav. But when it comes to anything in fields, metaltalin, everything is considered metav. Everything is considered good. Even subin is considered good. You should always find a customer when it comes to metatin. You can always sell subin. If you can't sell it, you can sell it somewhere else. So therefore, metav, when it comes to field, it has to be metav. Because there, you can't move it around. So therefore, to get customers to come buy it, you got to have to give the guy the best field. Customers will buy edit. Mashiach, when it comes to metatin, that is always good. Good. Now Rabbuna gives a different answer. Rabbuna Mahar, or kesef, or metav. All the pasuk is coming to tell you, either you could pay money, or you could pay metav. Look at Rashi, Rav Huna Amar. Now, you need this Rashi to put you back to Dapim. Otherwise, you don't even know where Rav Huna is coming from. We're in the middle of a sugya here, and Rav Huna jumps in. So Rashi says, La kashya kira'ed le'il. That kashya that we had above, kesef u metav, taki kama rahmana, or kesef yiten lo, or metav sadotav, either or. Veha delo airi Ravuna adhacha. Hey, Ravuna, where were you till now? Mishum de ba'el asukel le metad rabbi shmavir rabbi akiva de ba'od el kashen shamin oto b'shiloim shamin. Ba'odak kamari v'azir. We got sidetracked in that mahlok of rabbi shmavir rabbi akiva in whose fields are you evaluating? Is it the nizak? Is it the mazik? Is it b'shilo? Is it keneged kol ha'olam? And we got, once we finished that item, we went back to the original subject. So comes the Gemara and says, so that's it, it's a simple answer. This is, you want to pay money, pay kesef. You want to pay fields, pay metav. Gemara says, eti ve'rab nachman rav huna, yeshiv v'rabot sheve kesef afilu subin. What are you talking about? The Gemara was doresh on the word yeshiv, not kesef. The Gemara was doresh
Shaveh kesef. Shaveh kesef is things that are equivalent to money. And you're coming along to say, money, where did you get money from? It's not money. The hadush is that you don't have to only pay fields, you can pay even equivalent of money. That's what the Gemara says. Subin. Subin is brand. Now you're going to come along and say it means kesef, but that's not the derasha, the pasuk. It's talking about over here, the guy doesn't have, the pasuk is referring, if you don't have kesef, and you don't have sadot, then you can pay subin. But the chetayda, either it's kesef, or sadeh, or fields. And you don't have to have to pay subin. Idelitle peshita. Okay, so what do you want? Hadush. If you don't have money, you don't have a field, of course you're going to pay subin. What do you want to pay? So the Gemara says, ma'udetem aminan le zil tarach zabin da'iti le kesef. I would have thought that the Nizak can tell the Mazik, I don't want your soup bean. I'm not interested in your brand. Go sell your brand and give me money. No. And if he doesn't have kesef, he can even give him Shaveh kesef. And the Nizak cannot tell the Mazik, you go sell it and give me the cash. Amar of Asir. Kesefin harehin ke karka. New statement. Money is like karka. Lemai hilcheta. What does that mean? For what purposes? Ilimali inyan metav. Or maybe it's inyan this law of it that we just learned. That what? If you want to pay somebody that you damage, you have a choice. Either pay him fields or pay him money. And that's what Rav Asi meant. Kesefim harem ke karka. Hainu de ravuna. So Hazakabad, that's ravuna statement. Which means then the Gemara just should have said, Vechen amar Rav Asi. All he's saying is the same thing as ravuna. What did ravuna teach us? You're damaged. Either pay kesef or pay fields. And then what does Rav Asi say? Vishnu rabotai kesefim harehem kekarka. What are you talking about? The equal? Was that Nanyan what Rav Huna said? So what are you making a separate statement for? The Gemara should just say, Amar Rav Huna, o mishalem kesef, o mishalem karka, vechen amar Rav Asi. What's Rav Asi making this new statement? Kesefim harehem kekarka. Ela, the Gemara is going to try to solve it. Ela, it's talking about like Lishne Achim Shehalku. Here's the story. Two brothers, what'd they do? They inherited. They stayed divided the assets. Okay, one guy took real estate, one guy took money. Equivalent, 50-50. Baal Chov came. Why not? No. That's Yetumim. Yetumim do not pay. Yetumim are kids. However, regular adults that inherit, there's a sherbut on the field. So therefore, the Baal Chov comes, I'll see you. Thank you, I'm taking this field. Now the guy who got the field got burnt. He's losing, he lost part of his inheritance now. Yeah. So what happens? The azil hai v'shakil palga b'kesefim b'adeh. He can go to his brother and say, by the way, fork up some of that money now, by the way. I just paid $10,000 in karka. I want $5,000 cash now to even it out. So that's what it's saying over there, kesefim anem kekarka. That even though the guy went after the karka, karka kesefim were the same thing, and therefore they have to divvy it up. He says, pshita, hai bera, v'hai lav bera? What, hadush? What, he's a son and he's not a son? Which means, why would I think not like that? The obligation to pay the father's debts is on both of them. So why would I think, just because the guy went after the guy for karka, I never say the time. Oh, you should know kesef. He might even get karka. Now the karka can go to the kesef guy and get compensated. Of course. What? He's a son. He's not a son. I don't need a hadush for that. So the Gemara says, "No, ika de amre adraba." Some say, and some ask like this. Some say, on the contrary, leida gisa. The other way, the guy can tell him like this: take a walk. The amar le the haki shakli kesef. Hey, why do you think I took money? By me taking money, I took a risk. By the way. The imigneve, you know why I took money? I took a risk, by the way, because money can get stolen. And therefore, I said, you know what, I'll take the money, and if it gets stolen, lo mishtalam na minach. I'm not coming to ask you for compensation. Similarly, ulhaki shakalt ara. You took real estate because you know real estate is protected, but you also know there's a risk. That what? The imitarfa, lo mishtalman alach midiminai. That you can't come after me. Which is, that must have been our agreement. I took money to say as if it gets stolen, it's my loss. And you took karka to say that what if somebody comes and takes it because of Baal Chov, it's your loss. And therefore, according to this version, he cannot go to the guy for the money. So therefore, kesef is not like karka. I mean, the shi'bud is where on the karka. And therefore, he could tell the guy, listen, just like I took a risk by taking money, and I wasn't coming to cry to you if the money got stolen, so too, you took a risk by taking karka. That if the guy at the bottom wasn't taking, you cannot come to me. But either way, Rav Asid doesn't make any sense. Then. So what was Rav Asid talking? Kesafi, mare, and ke karka. So here what I say is, Ela, I'll tell you the case. Lishne achim shehalku. Same story. Two brothers, what'd they do? Divided an inheritance. Uba Baal Chov came, v'natan chelko shel echad mehem. Okay, and the Baal Chov came, and he took the chelik of one of them. Rashi, l'shnei achim shechalku, karka. Oh, so it's karka. No, there's no money over here. Uba Baal Chov, v'natan chelik ha'echad. V'mishalim lo ha'acher, hatzi chelko. Right, he pays him half, or karka, or he could compensate him with money. Good. Which means, simple case, two brothers inherited karka. Okay. The guy, Baal Hov, came and took the full payment from one of the brothers, $10,000 worth of karka. The brother can come to the other guy and say, listen, why do I paid out $10,000 karka? Could you compensate me $5,000? So now, he can compensate him either by giving him $5,000 in karka, or he can tell him, I don't give you the karka, it's $5,000 cash. They both had karka. When they both have karka, they both have the same responsibility. It's not like the other case. One guy took money, we could tell him, hey, listen, the reason I took money is I took a risk, you took a risk. You're both equal. Okay, so the Gemara says, that's what Rav Asi is saying. They are Amrar Rav Asi Hadazimna. Rav Asi said that already somewhere else. Why? What did he say? The Itmar. Listen, we got three shitot over here. Ha'achim shechalku. What happened? Brothers divided the estate of the inheritance. Uba Baal Chov v'natan chelko shel echad mehem, and the Baal Chov came and took one guy's properties. Rav Amar batla machloket. Rav says, okay, the division is batel, divide everything up again. So it's equal. Redivvy it. So it's equal. Ushmael Amar viter. Shmuel says, sorry, you lost. V'Rav Asi Amar notel Rabia bekarka v'Rabia ba'ot. He can get either a quarter compensation in land or a quarter compensation in money. We don't know the explanation of any of these shittot yet, but let's review the three shittot. First shittah says, three brothers, right? They all divided everything nicely, beautiful. Baal Chov comes, one of them takes the whole field. So the first shittah says, that's not fair. You know what? Put everything back in the kitty again and divide it equally. So everybody gets equal share. It's not fair. One guy should have to make the payout for everybody else. Good. We understand that, Chita. Second Chita says, sorry, the one that they took the karka from, you lose. We're good. Everybody's protected. We don't understand that at all. The third Chita makes the least sense to us. The third Chita says, that's it. All right, listen, you made the payout. You can go to the other brother and he'll pay you a quarter. Which means he owes you half. Yeah. No, he'll pay a quarter. So what would you get a quarter from? Either pay nothing or pay half. And when he pays, he has a choice. You want to pay a quarter in land, you want to pay a quarter in kaka, and that's what he meant. Quarter. Comes Gemara and says, what's the shitote? Rav Amar Batla Machloket. Rav says Batla Machloket, which means you got to redivide everything again. Kasamar Ha'aqim Shechalku Ki Yorshim Abu. Okay, good. Brothers that are dividing the land of their father. So therefore they considered like Yorshim, Rashi, Baal Shinehem Lifroa. And therefore the obligation to pay back is on everybody. And if one guy pays, the other guy's got to compensate him. Hilkach Mahasit Al Koyazilo. Simple. It's the Yorshim. Ha'im Shechalku, they're dividing the money over here. They have to make a payment. That we have no problem. Okay. Yes. Because the father didn't designate. You get this. You get this. You get this. It just fell. Now they themselves are like, you take this. I'll take that. So even that's considered a yirusha. If the father said, listen, I'm giving you this field, everybody says yirusha. Here, the father died, he left stuff. Now the brothers are coming themselves. all right, you know what? You take that field, I'll take this one, you take this one. That's already could be questioned. How do you look at that? Maybe they're buying it from each other. They're bartering. I'll give you a field that's worth that, I give you a field equal that. You know, that's considered Yerusha. Splitting the Yerusha amongst themselves is considered Yerusha, and therefore you're both obligated to pay the debts. Remember, when he went after one guy, you both got to divide it again. Good. After the guy's father died, now the brothers went, they're making the divvy themselves. So the first rabbi says, it's such a regular Yerusha. However, the next Shita says, Ushmael Amar Viter. Why Viter? Kasabar Achim Shechalku Lekuchot. Which means it's like a purchase. It's like they bought it from each other. Vichlokeya Shelo Baharayutame. And it's like he bought it without responsibility. Which means now that we're dividing the stuff, you decide to take that field. That field may be worth, that field may be a smaller field, let's say. Let's give you an example. That's worth like $10,000. So now it's, okay, well, I got to take something comparable. All right, we'll give you bigger fields that are not as good quality, $10,000 worth. So it's like a sale. Like we're buying from each other. So it looks like a sale. So and it's like a sale that we're buying without a responsibility. You take it, I'm not responsible. You took it, that's it, see you later. All sales final, no responsibility. So now when the Baal Hof comes after that guy, take a walk. I sold it to you. You gave me something comparable. Right? 10,000, I got to get 10,000 field or so. You get tough luck. Good. Viter. Third Shita, Rav Ase Amar, Notel Rabia Bekarka, Verabia Bemoto. It doesn't mean Ve. That she points out Ve means O. Or a quarter in. This money or quarter in karka. Why? Mesafkele. Ike Yorshin Damu, Ike Lekuchot Damu. Hilkach Notel Rabia Bekarka, Verabia Bemaot. He has a safek. You don't know how to look at this. Is it considered Yorshin? Well, if it's considered Yorshin, then you owe a half. If it's considered a lokeach, I owe nothing. So I say, you know what? Split it. It's mamona mutab safek. Mamona mutab safek. The money that's a safek. Holkin, I'll give you a. On one side, I owe you nothing. On the other side, I owe you a half. Okay, so we have a question over here. How much? I'll give you a quarter, and that's it. And the hadush of Rabbi said was that quarter you could pay either way. So then we're back to the question then. Don't tell me a statement. Amar Rabbi said, "What's the statement that he said?" Kisafim harein kekarka. Well, you said that already. You gave us a whole. That's kisafim harein kekarka. That when you're making that quarter payment, you could pay it either like this or like that. So why did Rabbi say have to make that statement, kesefim harehin, kekarka? You said it already? Explicitly. Yabara says, Ela mayarehin kekarka, lenyan metav. Okay, very good. Lenyan metav. Meaning, when a guy damaged, you go back to damaging, a guy damaged, he can either pay kesef, or he can pay karka. Yachi, hainu de ravuna. That's ravuna said that. What do we need you for, ravase? Ema vechen amar ravase. You're right. Ravuna made the statement, and just say after that, and Rav Asi agrees with him. So therefore, we thought he was telling us a whole new hadush. Nah, he was saying the same old thing that Ravuna was telling you. When a guy damages, either you pay this, or you pay Ravichen Amar Rav Asi. He's agreeing with Ravuna. Amar Bizera Amar Ravuna. A new point. B'mitzvah ad shlish. When it comes to mitzvot, ad shlish, until a third. What does that mean, until a third? Gemayas, my shlish, what are you talking about?
Ilema shlish beto.
When a guy wants to go do a mitzvah, you want to go buy a lulav, you want to go buy an etrog, you have to be willing to pay up to a third of your assets. If the guy's worth $1 million, he's got to pay up to $333,000 for an etrog. Ad kedekach.
Kebonas ela me'ata. I itramele tzolata mitzvata.
If three mitzvot come to him, that's it. They give his whole house. But the point is, they're trying to say, we know that when it comes to mitzvot aseh, there's no obligation to spend your entire fortune on a mitzvot aseh. On a lot aseh, you have to spichol meodecha. You have to spend everything not to commit a avera. But when it comes to a mitzvot aseh, the Torah does not say you have to spend your whole to break the bank. So you cannot tell me you got to spend up to a third of your of your assets like that. So comes the Gemara and says, yeah, like the Tosfot says on top. Mashma de'etzrik lebazbez kol mamono leknot etrog.
Right? Afilu lo yim sabe fachot. Vav yam mitzvat overet. Even though, vafilu shlich beto. Even though shlich beto, you don't have to. Mashmat lo mahayev. Good. Ela mar bizera behidur mitzvah.
When it comes to hidur, there's a mitzvah that says what? Ze eliva and vehu. Upgrade, do the mitzvot, you know, in a beautifying way. Right? Ad shlish b'mitzvah. Whatever you paid for the mitzvah, now they tell you, you know what? There's a better etrog. You know, for a little more money, a little more mehudar. So how much do you have to spend for the better one? It's an item. You can't say, no, this is good. It's ugly, but I'm yotzeh. No. Hitna'eh lefanav b'mitzvot. Zeh edi v'anveh. It's an item to do mehudar. But how much? So the gedin is ad shlish. Okay, up to a third. Third of what you paid. Now, how do you calculate third? Always back to that old. Whatever you deal with this third. Milegav, milebar. Get what I say. Ba'ira vashe. Shlish milegav or shlish milebar? Teku. What does it mean, milegav, milebar? Simply is milegav means from the outside. Meaning, I paid six. What's a third of six? Two. So I got to go up to eight. Up to eight. Which means, like Tom is, this etrog's worth six. I got another one. Oh, unbelievable. Eight. Okay, so what's in the third? But if Tom, I got another one, it's nine. Listen, I'm not obligated. Actually, I don't got to go that far to spend on hidur. To God, mercy on me. Or is it millebar? Millebar is on the outside. Which means, I paid six. So now, six to... Split, the way that she says it, split the six and two. Six and two is three and three. So to make another third, so add three. So now you have, you know, one third is three, one third is three, one third is three. So you go up to nine. How do you calculate it? Is it eight or nine? A tiku. A third of what? Third from the inside, third from the outside.
Okay, comes the Gemara and says, "Bemarava Amar b'shemed Rav Zera, ad shlish mishelo."
Oh, until shlish. That's yours.
We can be either Mishael Kadosh Baruch Hu. But after that, now what does that mean? Ad shlish. So good Ashi. Ad shlish Mishaelo. Dehainu oto shlish yosif behidur mitzvah Mishaelo. She'eno nifralo behayav.
Jeez, if you pay up to a third, God's not going to give you a reward in this world.
Kedamrin hayom laasotam velo hayom nito secharam.
Well, that's what you're obligated to do. You'll get reward. Then already God says, you went above, I'm going to give you a reward in this world. So up to shlish, more than that, God says, already you get the payment in this world. Now let's just read the next Mishnah.
Kol shehavti b'shmirato.
Very important Mishnah. Any one of the nizikim, or the mazikim, any of the type of damages that are obligated to watch, I don't know, sure, you're obligated to watch it? You're bored, you're obligated to watch it?
Kol shechavti b'shmirato, hechsharti et nizko. Hechsharti et nizko, as she says, im ezik, hechsharti v'zimanti oto hezek shalosh shemartiv yefeh.
I prepared already the reason why I got to pay. If I have to watch it, so and I didn't watch it, and it damaged, so therefore I have prepared for myself now the reason that I have to pay the damages. No hiddush yet. Very simple. Basically, it's saying, if you got to watch it, you got to pay for it if it damages. Read it inside.
Kol shehavti b'shmidato, kol she'ani mechuyav lishmor.
Now, parentheses, im lo shamarti,
hechsharti et nizko, ani zimanti, ani hechanti et hanezik.
That means I prepared myself, I made myself liable to pay.
Hechsharti b'miksat nizko, and even if I really wasn't directly involved in the damage, I only was partially involved.
I don't know how that means yet, wait for the Gemara.
I was partially involved. Hafti b'tashlume nizko kehekshir kol nizko.
I got to pay the whole thing. Wow. Means partial involvement is like full involvement. And therefore, if you were partially neglectful, doesn't matter. The onus is on you. Got to pay the full damage. Wait for the Gemara to give us a case. Now, what type of items do I have to damage to be hayav?
So the Gemara says, Nechasim she'em behem me'ila. Period. Number one. Items that are not Kodesh. If it was Kodesh, there'd be me'ila. What is me'ila? If I use something that's Kodesh for personal benefit, then I have to bring a Korban me'ila. If I damage Kodesh, we learned earlier, according to one Shita, when you damage Kodesh, you're patur. So the only type of items that I'm hayav if I damage, number one, an item that is not subject to me'ila. Difficult way of saying chulin. Non-consecrated items. Nechasim shen shel bnei berit. Has to be Jewish. Which means, in the Torah, you only hayav bnei berit. Okay? Nechasim amyuhadim. What does this mean, nechasim amyuhadim? Sheyesh them ba'alim. They have an owner. As opposed to hefker. Of course, hefker, who am I paying? Right? Kibra will have to explain that. Who's the heaven? Who am I paying? Ubechol makom. And it doesn't matter where I damage. Chutz mirshuta miyuhedet lemazik. Unless your ox comes into my field, and then my ox gores your ox. Hey, what are you doing on my property? You can't come along and say, hey, your ox damaged. Oh, what a damage. We asked you to come into my property. So therefore, I'm going to be patur if the damage takes place where the animal came into the mazik's field. Or the reshuta nizak va mazik. Or in an area where it's common for both of them to be. Which we'll see the areas like that. But both of them are allowed to be there. Then you're right on patur. I was allowed to be there. And therefore, we'll see exactly why patur. The Gemara will explain that. Okay. Last point. Ugzehizik. Oh. And when the guy damages, or his animal damages, have a mazik l'shem tashlume nizik b'metava aris. He has to pay metav. He has to pay the best. We learned that already. He has to pay the best. Oh, so we learned that in the first Mishnah. Yeah. So if you remember, we did this already. In the first Mishnah, it wasn't superfluous. They would have to tell me, you have to pay metav, because that's the law. This over here, we said, the reason why I repeated it is to tell me that even Shor, you would have thought, Kedin, since Kedin is interesting time and Mu'ad, so you might have thought that maybe you don't have to pay Me'etav. Kama Shmuel, it says it again. Oh, Shehav, even Kedin has to pay Me'etav. Okay. The Gemara begins, Tanu Rabbanan. Kol Shehavti B'Shmirato, Echshati Et Nisko. Wherever I'm obligated to watch the item from damaging, so I prepared myself to pay. If I didn't watch, I'm obligated to pay the nizakim. The nizak. Ketzad. So Gemara gives an example. Shor ubor, shemasran lecheresh shoteh v'katan. So you gave your shor, your ox, or your pit. You put it under the jurisdiction of a cheresh shoteh v'katan. Cheresh is somebody who doesn't have da'at. Shoteh also doesn't have da'at. Katan. Basically, these people are not capable of watching the shor or the bor. Veziku, and then all of a sudden it damaged. So you hayav l'shalem. You're obligated. You're obligated to watch it. You put it in the hands of people that are not capable. So therefore you're going to be obligated. Mashen ken be'ish. But if you give your fire to a harish or tev katan, you're patur if it goes out and damages. So give us a what's the case here? Bemai askina. What's the case? Idem abishor kashur ubor mechuse. It's talking about where you gave a harish or tev katan. Or sure that was tied. And a boy that was mechusen, a boy that was covered, so they were really protected. The kivatega be'esh. So similarly, a case of esh would be gahelet, where you didn't give him an actual fire; you gave him a coal. The coal itself doesn't have power to make a fire until you blow on it. So basically, with what you gave him, all protected items. Ma'ishenahacha or ma'ishenahacha. So then, why by shor you're going to be hayav, and esh you're going to be patur? If basically you gave him a protected item, you should be patur in all the things. You gave him an item, it was you gave him a short, it was tied up. So why should you be hayav? Just like you gave a fire that was a coal, doesn't have the power to damage, the way you gave it to the Chayesh, it should also be patur. What's the logic? So Gemara says, Ela bishor mutar. It's talking about a short that was untied. That's why you hayav, because you gave him a short that's able to damage. Ubor meguleh. And you gave him a pit that was uncovered, and therefore you gave it to a Haresh Shotev Katan to watch. So, Vada, you're going to be Hayab. The Kivata, similarly by fire, what would the case be?
Gabeish Shanhivit. That you gave him a torch. So Gemara says, Mashinkin Be'ish the Patur? How could it be Patur? If you gave him a torch, which would be similar to giving him an untied ox, how could it be Patur? The only time you patur by ish, we gave him a coal and he had to blow it. So therefore you patur, because really the way you gave it to him, we're not able to cause damage. But if you give the Hadish Tufikadon Mamasha a torch, of course you hayav. My tama, because the hezek is very common, which is, and you gave it to people that are incapable. So then we want to know, what's the case of Shor that you're telling me you hayav, and what's the case of Ish? We're still trying to figure out the case. Le'olam, Beshor, Kashur, Ubor, Mechuseh. Really, I'll tell you the case of Tumah, we gave the Hadish of Katan, a Shor that was tied up, and a board that was covered. So why you hayav then? The way I gave it to the Hadish of Katan, it was protected. No. And really, the case of Ish also was protected. You gave him a coal. So what's the difference? Oh, you ask, what's the difference? Shor darchea linituke. A shor, it's the derech to break loose. And bor darchea linituke. And the bor, it's the derech that the cover falls off. So if you were reckless, you give a shor that's tied up to a hadish of tibikata, they're incapable of watching anything, and it's the derech for the thing to break loose. Therefore, when it goes and damages, you're hayab. Gachelet. But a gachelet, if you just leave it as is, it'll go out. The Hadesh Tiv-Katan have to do something for it to damage. Namely, blow on it to keep it alive. Therefore, you can be patur in that case. When you give him a sword that's tied up, you're guilty. You gave it to people that are incapable, the thing's going to break loose. You can't claim, oh, I gave it to them tied up. You know a sword breaks loose and you know a board, the cover falls off. So in that case, it's going to be hayav. But shaken in the case of the gachelet, he gave him a coal. The way it is now, cannot damage. Unless the hadesh does something. Oh, so therefore you're going to be patur. Rabbi Yohanan, damar afidu masalo shalehevet nameh patur. Oh, but according to Rabbi Yohanan, he has an interesting shita. Even if you give the hadesh a torch, you're still patur. So a torch would be similar to giving him what? A sword that is untied. Why, when you give him a short untied, that I understand. You give him a short untied, you're going to be hayav. But why, if you give him a torch, you're going to be patur? Zahatam tzavta deheresh kagarim. Hacha lo tzavta deheresh kagarim. Which means, when you give him the short untied, the heresh doesn't have to do anything. The short just goes out and damages, as well as the board. Even when you give him a shalhebet, if he just stands there, nothing's going to happen. He's got to go and do something. So therefore, he has part of it. So therefore, in that case, you're going to be patu. So even if you're Anan's matir, even if you gave a shalhebet. Look at Rashi. Second wide line. Hatam gabe be'iro by the fire. Tzavta de'cheresh karim. Achizato shel'cheresh. Garma ever shunatla v'udichal gadish. He had to walk it to the field to burn it. Acha lo tzavta deheresh kagarim. Over here on the shore, nothing to do with deheresh. Shashor alak bezich mekena bor v'lo ayed deheresh. Deheresh has nothing to do with it. So therefore, those are the two ways to learn the cases. Amen. Amen.